Good evening. It's good to see each and every one of you out this evening. Glad that you've made plans and have followed through with them to be with us this evening. Throughout the scripture, many different times, Jesus uses a lot of agricultural examples. And a lot of the region of which Jesus resided in, and much because of the time that they lived in, you know, you're mostly self-sustaining. You grew your food that you ate, and you wasn't a lot of going to the market and buying it. There might be some trading it. Maybe you were more of a wine dresser than a, you know, sheep herder. So maybe you swapped with a shepherd with some grapes, or maybe you were a shepherd and you needed some grapes, so you'd do some trading. But by and large, most of everyone in that society dealt with some sort of agricultural background and knew exactly what Jesus was talking about when he talked about different things within the agriculture, such as when he spoke about the parable of the sower, and he talked about sowing the seeds and the ground and the soil of which it landed on. They knew exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said the rocky ground and the thorny ground and then the wayside, and how it landed in the good ground and it brought forth grain. He compared the kingdom of heaven to the vine, and how those who did not produce fruit would be cut off. He talked about the sheep and the shepherds, and how all the sheep needed a shepherd. He talked about the resurrection being like the sowing of the seed in 1 Corinthians 15. The final judgment was the separating of the sheep and the goats. And he talked about how a hog wallowing in its mire was like someone living in sin. This evening we're going to look at reaping what you sow, and looking at many different examples of us and our sowing, sowing not necessarily in the mindset of the parable of the sower and sowing and spreading the gospel, but us and what we sow and what we reap, and reaping what we sow in that aspect, much of the way and exactly the way that Galatians chapter 6 describes it. It says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Keep this verse in the back of your minds as we look at everything that we examine this evening with application to this verse of reaping exactly what we sow. Whether it is of the flesh, we reap corruption. And then if we sow of the Spirit, reaping that of everlasting life. There are a few things which we need to keep in our minds as well as we look at the harvest and what that really means. And I know many here are well aware of growing things in the field and plowing and in the garden and doing it for a living and doing it into a way of the old behind a mule, and have now gone so much to where they drink a Coke and eat chips while they're riding the tractor, and, you know, they don't have to even steer anything. You just sit there and make sure nothing goes haywire. And the times of things have changed, but there is one thing that is still true. One thing remains unchanged with agriculture from the very beginning, and in relationship to this reaping and sowing and harvesting. And that is the way that God set forth this to be done. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, let's read this with me. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." You see here with the seed and with the harvest, you plant wheat, you get wheat. You take an apple and you cut that apple open and you get those seeds out and you plant those seeds, you're going to get an apple tree. And that apple tree is going to grow another fruit, and inside that apple is going to be more seeds. And this goes on and on and on. Thus, that's why we have apple trees today. It started way back when God created it, and he created it with the seed. That seed is going to bring forth fruit. That fruit's also going to be able to reproduce itself and grow itself. Corn, same way. Corn, you take what? A kernel of corn. You plant a kernel of corn. You grow a corn stalk, right? And then you grab that corn stalk, and then inside that corn stalk, you've got ears, ears of corn that's got what? A little bitty kernels of corn all over it. And so this goes through. This is the way of nature. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about growing 500 years ago, 5,000 years ago, or if you're talking about growing 500 years from now. That's the way it's going to be. That's a matter of fact, that what you plant is what you're going to get. No ifs, ands, or buts. It can't be any other way. That's the law of nature, the law of the harvest. Every act has a consequence. We plant something, you're going to get that something. Every time. No ifs, ands, or buts. We see that the law of the harvest within the spiritual realm also goes along the same way. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully." Proverbs chapter 22, verse 8, "He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail." Much like what our verse started with this evening, that he who sows the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We see this cause and effect sort of thing that goes out not only in nature but also with our walks of life. That what we do, we get. We sow, we reap. And what we can get if you were to call the law of the harvest three big things is the number one, you reap only what you sow. You can't go out and say, you know, I'd like to grow four different crops. I'd like to get some wheat, beans, corn, and cotton. But all I've got is bean seed. Well, you're not going to get wheat, corn, and cotton, are you? You know, you're going to get beans. You're only going to reap what you sow. If you want to reap wheat, you're going to have to plant some wheat as well as the beans. You're going to have to plant that which you plant. You're going to reap only what you sow. And you're only going to reap when you sow. You can't go out and just not plant anything this spring and this time of year. Everyone's getting ready for the planting season. You can't just wait around till harvest and get around September, October and go, well, I think I'm going to go out there and pick some stuff now. And you ain't planting the first thing this spring. Guess what you're going to have? Well, you're not going to have nothing. You're going to have a lot of weeds is what you're going to have. You're going to have a lot of nasty crabgrass and sage, and you're just going to be sick and tired of it. You're going to have a bunch of weeds. All you're going to have. You can only reap when you sow. And the one other thing that I've noticed is you typically tend to reap more than you sow. And you say, well, I don't feel like I planted a whole lot more than what I got out. Well, maybe dollar for dollar you felt that way. But if you look at planting a kernel of corn, it grows one stalk, and that stalk has maybe a couple of ears of corn on it, with a bunch of kernels on each ear. Much like the song we sing, you can count the seeds within an apple, but can you count the apples within a seed? You're going to reap more than what you sow, and you have to be mindful of the fact of what you sow, knowing the fact that you're going to reap more than you sow. So all the more diligent we should be in keeping a mind and that, keeping on our mind what that is that we sow. And every one of us sow within our family. We sow something within our personal, earthly family. Every one of us. Fathers and mothers. We are to train our child in the way that he should go. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. We as parents have a obligation and a bountiful duty to train our children. And while maybe our children don't act the way that the dream child would act all the time, we train our children not to be great children, but we train our children so that they can be great adults. And that in lies where I think good parenting makes a difference. I lose countless minutes and hours a day thinking about what I have taught Levi today. What have I taught him yesterday? What did I teach him? What did he pick up? And maybe some of the stuff that I'm sowing isn't really what I'm sowing, but it's stuff that fell out of the bag that I didn't mean for him to catch. He's catching all of it. Just grasping and taking it in. And we as fathers and mothers, as parents, we should be very diligent in what we sow with our children, knowing that they are going to grow up, and knowing that many times the way in which they grow up has to deal with what they were taught within the home while they were children growing up. We need to be mindful of that as husbands and as wives. With our spouses, husbands, we are to sow love with our spouse. We're to love our wives. Wives are to submit to their husbands. Many times I have reaped exactly what I have sowed in the afternoon. I've said something to Haley maybe the day before, the night before. I've said something that morning as she was leaving for work that wasn't very smart, because I was ill and groggy and not awake all the way. I don't start thinking until the sun comes up. And she leaves before the sun comes up, so can't get on me. Y'all don't call me before the sun comes up thinking I'm going to be fully there. I'm going to give you an answer, but it may not be the right thing. And then I get home that evening, and you know what I did? I reaped exactly what I sowed that morning with her. I'll guarantee it. I got what I deserved, didn't I? We have to be mindful as husbands and wives that we are all the time sowing and reaping. And the love that we give each other and the love that we show toward one another is reciprocated. And although we have a duty as husbands to always love our wives regardless to whether they are submissive to us or not, we are to continually plant that seed of love. Wives also continually plant that seed of submission and respect and honor to their husbands. It talks about how a wife who does such a thing will win her husband over if he be an unbeliever, because she sows that what God tells her to sow. Children, too, are to obey their parents. Many times, an obedient child that catches its parent by surprise. I tell Levi to do something, and when he actually does it, sometimes it just flat out surprises me. Or when he catches that stuff like I talked about a moment ago that falls out of my little bag of seed that I wasn't meaning on him to catch. You know, that surprises me. And it kind of intrigues me to be a better parent. And as we get older as children, we all the more so should be obedient to our parents. That when we think about our parents telling us things, they're telling it to us for our own good. They're telling us this because they love us. They're telling us these things because they too have sowed the same things we are sowing, and they don't want us to reap what they reaped. I want you to be prepared for what's coming your way. We keep the same mindset with what we sow between our brothers and our sisters, between our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, our grandparents, our grandchildren, knowing that all along in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19, and one who sows discord among the brethren is mentioned as one of the things which God hates. Be mindful of what we sow, that we are not sowing that seed of discord among our brethren, talking about the church, but also sowing the seed of discord among our family. Being that person who always has trouble following them everywhere they go. That the family reunion is fine until Uncle Johnny shows up. Uncle Johnny that ruins it for everybody. Aunt Priscilla shows up and ruins it for everybody. Because all the time they sow discord. They sow things that just stir up strife within the family. We need to not do those things. And be mindful that all the time we are sowing within our family. And it's not limited to our family of where we sow. It is also goes over into our secular lives, our lives maybe outside of our earthly family and our spiritual family. But when we go out into the world, people see us, and we too, they are also reaping what we sow. With our neighbors, we reap what we sow, don't we? If you're a good neighbor, a lot of times you've got the best neighbors, don't you? If you're ill and grouchy and all the time talking about how they play loud music over there, did you ever notice how their music just seems to get louder? Between our friends, we reap what we sow. We've been talking about in our Bible study class, gossip. And how gossip becomes this great evil thing of talking about someone and somebody else's business of whom you have no business talking about. And how every time that that happens, the friendships that once resided before the gossip are no more. Because you have sowed the seed of a talebearer and of one who runs their mouth. The trust has been broken and you are no longer a friend to them because of what you sowed. You see it in work. And you think, well, oftentimes, you know, if the employee, if you think you have a no good jerk of a boss, well, guess what he thinks about you? He probably thinks you're a no good jerk of an employee. The thing goes round and round, doesn't it? Maybe the reason that they act the way they act is because we act the same way. Because we've got a speck in our eye and we just see the plank that they have in theirs. So we think they need to fix their life and they're going to act that way. Well, I'm going to act that way too instead of sowing the seeds that we ought to sow so that we could reap the benefits from it. That carries over into our government. And dealing with our enemies, we think oftentimes about the thing that we sow. The people of the world see us, and they see us wear the name that we wear, the name of Christian. And when they see us act a certain way or do a certain thing and sow a certain seed, they think, well, why would I want anything to do with that? Why would I want anything to do with you as a person if you act that way, and you because you wear the name Christian? Why would I want anything to do with Christ? Because you're busy sowing hate and envy and lying and backbiting and evil thoughts. You're sowing all those evil things and reaping the benefits of those things, such as strife and despair and anxiety and anguish and loneliness because of that which you sow. We need to sow in the spiritual realm of things. In our spiritual walk of life, we have things that we too need to sow. We sow the seeds within a Bible study. And maybe not with a Bible study with someone, but us independently studying our Bibles. I talked about a little bit about that last Sunday morning. How we need to get engaged and get to know our Bible and learning the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Have we planted the seed, that seed being the Word of God, within our own hearts? That we have a desire to continue to grow that? That we've gotten past the milk and we've gotten into the solid food, we've gotten into the meat of the Word. We've gotten and remember those first principles, but we've increased them. We've learned more and more, and that's done by studying the Word of God. Because you see, when you sow what you ought to sow, and you've been that light that you ought to be, there's going to be that day I can guarantee it. There's going to be that day that someone asks you a question. And they're going to ask you a question about the Bible that maybe you aren't ready for. Remember back last week, the in season and out of season? Always be ready. They're going to ask you a question, and that might be the only opportunity that you have an open door set before you to teach that person about the gospel. That might be your only shot. Because they've come to you willingly, they've come to you with an open mind and open heart, seeking an answer. Because they really want to know. So see, here is the chance for you to harvest what you sow. But you haven't studied. But you're not ready. And so you can't really reap the harvest if you haven't studied the Bible and you're still on the bottle. You haven't progressed on to the meat and potatoes of things. We've got to study our Bible. Study our Bible and sow that seed that we can learn, that we can grow, that we can be ready for the day that the harvest is white. Will you be ready for that day when it comes? We need to sow within our service. Our service within the kingdom. We do this without expecting anything in return. We serve God without, and we serve others without expecting something back. That's how we're supposed to be. We help people in secret, not like the Pharisees blowing the trumpets and calling, me, 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 look at what I've done, look what I'm doing. We do our service humbly, and we do it with love. And we serve the Lord with joy and with gladness in all that we do. You see, when you do those things, when you're humble, when you do things with joy, when you do things with excitement, when you do things out of love, all those are characteristics of stuff that people are drawn to, right? Those are all characteristics that people want to have part of. But when you're not those things, when you have hate and when you have pride and when you have no joy, when you're not happy about serving and serving others and serving God, people go, why would I want to assist you in that at any time? You see, you're sowing something all the time with what you do. In our service to God. And when we worship, we too are sowing seeds. Whether we're doing good or whether we're praying, or whether we're fasting, we are always sowing the seeds. And we don't do it for man, we do it for the Lord. We're sowing seeds for Him. We're sowing seeds for His kingdom. Not for my kingdom. Not for yours, but for His. We're sowing seeds and showing the fruits of the seeds that He has planted by what we do. One last thought and the lesson will be yours. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Some people sow their wild oats. Because you're only young once, right? So we gotta live it up. I gotta go ahead and get this out of the way. I gotta live it up one more time. You say, because my parents, they sowed the seed in me that said, you know, I need to be a Christian. And I know I need to be a Christian and I need to do what God wants me to do. But first, I need to do some stuff that I've always wanted to do for me. You see, because I've always enjoyed this life because it's fun. get out, get drunk, smoke it up, snort it up, shoot it up, have fun, drink around, go around with everybody, all the girls, let me go around with all the girls, girls going around with all the guys, let me sleep around, let me have fun, let me sow all these wild oats and live it up, have a dream, because I'm going to become a Christian one day and I want to get all this stuff out of the way. So they go out and they sow their wild oats, right? Many times people sow their wild oats. And while they were sowing them, the end of time, the end of their time came to pass. And it's heartbreaking. Because you go, I know they knew what was right. Because you say, I know that they knew what was good. Because they were a good person. Because they were good. They were honorable. They were, you know, besides the thing that they had, you know, I could trust that person. But while they were out sowing their wild oats, their life came to an end. Because the catch is, we don't know when the end is going to be. We act like we do, and we think we're invincible, and we're on top of the world, and nobody can cut us down because we're great. We're powerful. We're unstoppable. You know how many times I should have died already and I hadn't died yet? Ain't nothing going to happen to me. So just a few more days of this. And while I know very few who have had their life end while they were sowing their wild oats, I know so many more who went out to just do it for a moment, and they never quit. You know, I'm just going to sow these wild oats just one last summer. Just one last summer to do what I want to do and sow what I want to sow, and I'll be done. And summer turns to fall, and fall winter, and spring again, and next summer. And it just goes on and on and on. And they never quit. Hosea chapter 8 verse 7 says, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Reaping so much more than what they had in mind. Much like what Brother Robert talked about this morning with all the diseases that kind of go around. You know, I just meant it to have fun with it. It was all fun and games. I wasn't going to do this forever. But because I sowed the seeds of worldliness, I reaped the harvest of worldliness. And I reaped it all the more than what I had in mind when I sowed it. Some people, they reap their harvest immediately. Immediately close in proximity to when they planted the seed. And some, it was, sure enough, immediately reaping what they had sowed. In Acts chapter 12, verse 21 and 23, they cried out to Herod, the voice of a God, not of a man. And he lived it up, buddy. He thought he was something. Yeah, y'all just keep on doing what you're doing. That pride had grown inside of Herod. He thought he was somebody. He was so proud of himself and what he was. He was high and mighty. Well, how high and mighty does he look now? Because he struck down dead and was eaten by worms. That's just is that not just a beautiful picture to be painted right there? All those maggots inside of him. How prideful was he now? Wasn't very proudful at all. Wasn't very full of himself anymore. Think about Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. When they brought forth the money they had from selling some land, they thought, hey, yeah, you know, we'll keep some back for us, but we'll tell them we gave it all. Right? So Ananias comes in and he gives. They said, well, is this everything? Yep, this is all of it. Oh, you fool. It dropped dead right there. They carried him out. Sapphira comes back in and they said, how much you sold the land? Yes, for such a price as this, we have sold the land. Well, what you don't know is that your husband was here and he died, and the people who carried his body out are standing at the door. And there she goes, she fell dead, toted her out as well. See, some people reap immediately what they have sowed. But regardless if you reap it immediately, here on earth or not, there's one guarantee that can be made, is that you will reap. You'll reap what you sowed in eternity. Every one of us will reap exactly what we've sowed in eternity. In Psalms chapter 73, if you would like to, you can go back and write that down and go back and read this chapter. Talking about the tragedy of those who are wicked and the blessedness of those who trust in God. And I think about reaping in eternity what the rich man and Lazarus had done. See, the rich man had focused on his riches and upon himself and upon this world and growing it to be having a good life. And not really even mentioning it anywhere in his life is God. And Lazarus lived a life, from what we can see, which is a God life about God. And the rich man went to hell and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. And it was that way for all of eternity. The rich man could not pass over to Lazarus. Lazarus could not come to him. They could not, neither one, return to earth. They were at that very moment in time reaping exactly what they had sowed here on earth. And we see the law of the harvest. That is, you plant, you get what you plant. And when you plant something, you get something that you're going to get in according to what you have planted. All men are subject to this law. There's no escaping it. You can't say, well, that don't apply to me. Because it applies to every one of us. It has and it always will. I'm living proof of that. I'm, as the old saying goes, paying for my raising with my children sometimes. I'm reaping what I sow. But all the more important is knowing that what I sow today will be exactly what I reap tomorrow. I read with you Galatians 6 once more in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows the Spirit will reap Will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Have you been sowing what you ought to sow? If not, the call is for you to begin sowing today what you should have been sowing all along, and that is the seed of righteousness. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation anyway, please come as we stand and as we sing.